thing that I've realized about myself is that I don't have a, like, I live so much in the present that it's very difficult for me to remember some of my own stories and stuff. What? You're already laughing at me.
I know, you just said...
What?
I don't know why it made me laugh to think about someone saying, I live so much in the present, man. It was just like such a hippie thing to say.
I'm just so in the present, man. But like, Tom and I were talking about this the other day because during his message, he like told one of my old like ministry stories. And I was like, I have not thought about that in 8 years or whenever that happened, you know? And it struck me that like, I don't know my old stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't tell them and I don't know them. And so when I thought about that, I was like, I need to start having like one picture in my mind from things that I do so that I can hold something in my mind. Otherwise I'm going to forget everything.
Yeah.
And so the day after I resolved that in my mind was the day that we moved your house
It in the bed of my truck and we
yeah.
moved it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Have you seen that SpongeBob episode yet? Alaskan bullworm?
Yes.
Okay. Patrick says, we should take Bikini Bottom and push it somewhere else.
Was it Squidward that said it was the stupidest idea?
Yeah. Thomas. But by the end of the episode, they're all going, push!
Yes, push! And, and that's exactly where the Alaskan bullworm lands.
That's one of the best bits. I'll say that's one of the best bits of comedy I've ever seen. They like plant a seed at the very beginning of the episode, yeah. And by the end of it, they're all doing it, and it ends up destroying them all.
So great. But so then the day after I resolved to like, I'm going to start getting one image in my mind from the things that happened to me so that I can maybe start remembering some of my stories. Cause I just move past something. I live it and then I just move on.
Yeah.
And so the next day was the day that we were helping you move. And the moment the picture in my mind that I think I'm just going to hold on for the rest of my life is us moving your piano up the stairs of your back deck and just, when I say us, that's a very generous to myself term because it was basically Devin and Jeff Mason.
It is unbelievable.
I've never seen a feat of strength like that of Devin literally just pulling the piano up one stair at a time.
Jeff, I mean, what Jeffrey did, at one point Tyler Roberts put his hand on his back. And he was like, I don't know if I'm helping you or hurting you. And Jeff was like, don't move your hand. Do not move your hand.
Do not move your hand.
Jeff was like, he's like, if you move your hand, I'm just going to fall backwards.
Yeah.
You were literally holding me up.
There's also this moment where Devin goes, how we doing down there, Jeff? And Jeff just goes, go!
It was one of, like, you could tell how hard it was because the moment they started, it's like a sweat faucet turned on for both of them.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like by the fifth step, they're starting to sweat. It was like, okay, we're doing it.
And I was in the same state of sweatiness as well. And like, you don't sweat as a normal person sweats, but I do. I sweat, I probably sweat more than the average sweater. And,
sweater.
Yeah. And by the time we got up on the deck, like my quads were burnt and I can only imagine how those guys were feeling, but it was just like, just get that thing up one stair at a time. And when we got up to the top, we set it down and everybody stopped for a second. I just went over and played the biggest C chord I could find.
This is the end of Sergeant Pepper's.
Yeah.
Just boom, boom.
Yeah. Her Majesty's a pretty nice girl.
That's Abbey Road.
Yeah. But like the idea that you get to the end of something and it's over, giant chord, and yeah. Paul's like, no, I got one more.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah. That's, oh man.
But it was unbelievable. Just a feat of strength.
I got emotional today. I turned in the keys to my house I lived in for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just like, I got really sad. And just because I was super thankful. I was just so thankful. It was sweet. The last 2 days were super sweet. We just moved. This is funny. This is happening the day after we moved. And we literally moved probably less than a mile away. Like a mile as the crow flies from my house, my current house. It's a minute and a half up the street.
As the crow flies. When was the last time you said the statement, as the crow flies?
14 seconds ago.
No.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. You're thinking my memory's that bad? That
yeah. You just said. Lee, we have to remember.
Put this image in your mind.
Take a clip blink right now and just think about it. But you know, I had this, it was just like a sweet and sad thing today. But I was overwhelmed yesterday. At like, it took 45 minutes essentially to get everything out of that house and into my next one because of the amount of people who came to help. And it was like, it just, I felt so loved yesterday.
It was cool. Like there's a thing that they used to do at concerts at the New City Cafe, at the New City Cafe in the Old City, where, which RIP, that place was awesome. But like, they would always, at the beginning of a concert, they would ask who traveled the farthest to be at this show. And one thing that was really cool about moving you was that like Clark Vickery came from like Weisgarber Road or wherever.
Yeah.
All the way out just to help you move.
I know. He just texted me in the middle of the week. He was like, what time do you need me? And I was just like, oh. Tyler Roberts was just like, do you need like a truck that my father-in-law keeps all of his mowers in, or you just need a truck, you need a car? And I was just like, oh, what?
Isn't it kind when somebody like, just when you just have a job that you can't do by yourself and people just show up to help you.
I know it was unbelievable and it was overwhelming. And then today was overwhelming because I just like closed the doors on my little house that I've lived in for 4 years.
We recorded a lot of episodes of this show in that house.
Mm-hmm.
You played a lot of PlayStation with high school and college guys in that house.
Yeah. The Lord was super kind to me in that house. It was funny. I was just like driving away and thanking him for all the reasons. Like,
also you had the incident with the raccoons too.
Yeah. Just like, I like drove away and I was just like listing things. I was just like, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. And they were all memories. And then there was things where I was like, I learned how to walk with you outside of a house of five people.
I learned how to walk.
Yeah. I learned how to walk in there, and that's where I got potty trained. But like, it was funny because I left my parents' house, like the safety of being with my family and whatever, like privilege and all that stuff, to like going to live with my, you know, five of my best friends in a house, and we all learned how to walk with Jesus together, had our small group together and led Young Life together. And then it was just like, you know, I didn't know what it meant to walk with the Lord outside of safety. Honestly, it was just like, here's the safetiness of having a life with Jesus. And then it was, now you're on your own. But I'm going to give you a friend you've never met before.
Wow.
And y'all are going to learn how to do this together.
Devin Rodriguez.
And then you're going to live by yourself for a year. And you're going to, you know, you're going to learn what it's like to wake up by yourself in the house and then go to sleep by yourself in a house. And it all sounds so silly. And then I had a moment where I was just thinking for all these things. And then I was just like, I'm really thankful you don't live there. I like said that to the Lord. I was like, you're not there. That's not your house. Like I'm going to the next place too. And you're going to be with me.
I love that you said that. That was the very first time I went overseas. That was the thing that struck me, was that like, I visited China with Christy after freshman year of college. And what we found was just people who love Jesus so much. And just Thomas just spilled so much water on the stage at church.
How long do you think you'll stay beat it up like that? It's unbelievable. Like if I got a straw and drank it, there'd be gross. Nothing wet on the carpet. It's pretty crazy.
But we found people over there that love Jesus. And it was just like, oh man, the Lord is over here too. You know?
Yeah, it was sweet. I felt cool. That way in Spain. It was so cool. And it was embarrassing. Like that I had to have that thought, you know?
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah.
Wait. Oh. It was so embarrassing. Like I was just like, what?
Yeah, you hang out with Luis Alarcón like a couple of minutes and you're like, wow, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome to Ancient and New. We're glad you're with us. And we're going to share some scripture and talk about it. That's what we do here.
That's great.
Do you think by the end of the episode, the water will have gone down into the carpet, or will it stay beaded up? Like if we were to leave it for like 3 weeks, would it stay there?
I don't know. That's the second time tonight I've like started something like I was going to carry on. That one I did on purpose.
So, I'm reading the Gospel of Matthew right now, and I'm near the end. And there's an interesting thing that's happening. And oh my gosh, are you that?
It didn't work.
Should I share my scripture now?
Yeah, please.
Are you going to do some more science experiments?
No.
They can't even see what you're trying to do.
I know. It was for you only. And then it got shared.
Well, it was super loud.
Yeah, I know.
So at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, there's a thing that happens where Jesus starts talking to people about the fact that they didn't want him. He talks about the fact that he wanted to be like a mother hen, and he wanted to gather them under his wings, like a hen gathers chicks like under her wings. He uses all these little illustrations like that, and he's like really sad that they did not want him in their life. And there's all these, he's telling all these parables, like telling people, like, honestly, like how screwed up they are and how much, just how desperate their situation is spiritually. And if your goal when you're reading scripture is like, I just want to find something super encouraging, I want to have Jesus tell me that he loves me, like when you're in the last few chapters of the Gospel of Matthew before you get to the cross, you're not going to find that. Yeah. That's not what's happening. Right. He's like, woe to this group of people and woe to that group of people. And hey, you thought it was this and it's not, you were super wrong about that, you know? And I was just trying to, like, the other day I was in these kinds of verses like that and just trying to find something for my own heart. And he was saying the thing about how he was doing the same thing again. He was saying the kingdom of heaven, it's like a wedding banquet. And this dude is inviting people to his wedding and nobody wanted to go. And he's like, he invited this group of people and this group of people and this group of people, and everybody was making all these excuses why they couldn't go to the wedding. And I was sitting there thinking, like, man, I'm trying to find something encouraging for my day about my life and my heart and my relationship with Jesus. And then I realized what it was. Because right in the middle of that parable, there's a sentence where he's inviting people to the wedding banquet. And he says, come to the wedding banquet. And then I realized, I accepted the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go.
That's cool.
I put the save the date on my fridge. I got my suit down and got dressed up. Like I want to go. Like the people that you're talking to, they might not want to go to the wedding banquet, but I do.
Mm.
And like in the middle of Jesus really being upset that people did not want him, I realized my encouragement for that day was, I do want you. I want you in my life. Like if knowing you is a wedding banquet, then I'm getting dressed up for the wedding. Like, cue up the Cupid shuffle. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if getting to know you is a baby chick being in the wings of the mama hen, like, then enfold me in your feathers. Like, that's where I want to be. There may have been a time in my life, and there may be moments where I have some rejection of the Lord and everything, but, like, the encouragement I have for my own self, and maybe whoever's listening to this, maybe this is an encouragement for you too, that like when other people don't want it, we do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go. Whatever the illustration is, Lord, I want to be with you. And that was such a sweet moment to find, like, yeah, I can take that scripture really kind of and turn it on its head and say, I want to be gathered under your wings. Mm-hmm. I want to accept the invitation. And so something that it was hard for me to mind something for my own heart. And then I realized, oh, it's just right there the whole time. I am one of the ones that wants to be there.
Hmm. That is awesome. I'm thankful. I mean, as someone who just had a wedding, that's super cool. And it like kind of made me sad, which is like, I haven't thought about that like that before. Like, I wonder what it must've been like for the disciples to hear like people not wanting to be with Jesus, not wanting to hang out with them. And like, I don't know. It's so interesting. Like that thing made me sad, and it kind of encourages me to like, I don't know. It makes me want to do something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're in a world right now where like probably a lot of us want to do something. Like we're probably hearing a lot of things right now that are, and I feel that way, you know, like I want to do something. I don't know what to do. I want to do something for the people who like are not accepting the invitation of coming to the wedding banquet. Like, I just feel sad about the world right now. I feel sad about things going on. My heart is breaking a lot, about things we read and see and all that. And that right there, just like added to it, not out of like, just like, I don't know. It added to it in a way that I'm like, it makes me want to do something. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that like we can do stuff, and you know, like I'm thankful that God uses us, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Like I feel prompted to more than ever to like share the gospel. And that hearing you say that tonight made me feel even more prompted about it, and like, and reminded me why, like, my heart is broken for the world, and it's broken in ways where I, like, I don't know, like, it just is, it's just broken, yeah. but it's really broken because people don't know Jesus, and that reminded me of it, and it just reminded me that, like, there's a lot of people who are objectively and, like, factually just not coming to a banquet that they're invited to, and I'm like, why not?
Yeah.
I want you to. And I don't know. I feel emotional right now. And
yeah, you're tender.
I feel tender right now. And I,
but it's cool. Cause like, it's like you're like, when, if you step away from this, you can look at yourself and say, whoa, my heart is aligned with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad that people don't want, that people would reject Jesus, and I want to do something about it. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's his exact heart, is that he was literally crying over Jerusalem. And yeah, that's what Luke tells us anyway, is that when he was saying the thing about the hen and the chicks, like that he was actually weeping and sobbing, and he was saying, but you didn't want it, you know? And it's like, and yet we're sitting there going, but I want it. And which is awesome. And also I'll get on your team to help you reach people who don't currently want it, but may in the future. Let's do this.
Yeah. I just like, I talked such a big game right there. I felt like, and I don't know. I think that was really sweet that you just reminded me that like, I want it and I've got it. And I've accepted that invitation, yeah, to Jesus. You know, like, I think that's a good thing for us to remember as followers of the Lord. Like, I think it's important to remember that we have accepted that invitation, and that we have that, and we have him, and that it's just fun to think about that as a wedding. I don't understand it very well yet. Like the idea of, but I feel like I've taken a step to get closer to it by getting married, about like thinking of Jesus, yeah, as like, as a bride and like as a bridegroom, you know, like, right. That's been a connection I haven't been able to make super well in like my walk with the Lord. And, but I do like the idea of going to a banquet or a party that he's thrown on behalf of a wedding makes me excited, you know?
Yeah.
It's, that's a fun one to think about. But anyways, I feel like I just rambled for 18 minutes. My turn.
Take it.
Okay. I was just waffling back and forth between what I wanted to do. And then I had another memory of one that I really wanted to do, but I think I did it a few weeks ago.
You have, like, we were talking earlier about how bad my memory is. Your memory is like really, really good.
It's very good. But I just was like, I'm like, did I talk about this? Did I talk about this? Did I talk about this? I don't know if I did or not.
You may have done.
But I'm going to do one that I know I haven't talked about yet. This is super short and super sweet. And it's just been this was just helpful for me. And I may have said this last time we did this, and I've kind of been like, this one was nice on the heels of our episode a few weeks ago. And I know I said this last week on our episode, but a few weeks ago you were talking about remembering just like little things that you've learned. And last week I talked about like, and like, you know, reciting those in your head throughout the day whenever you get anxious or whenever you have a moment. And last week I talked about just like a broad thing, like a very broad thought that I had from some scripture. And this one was like a more specific, like, here's a little couplet from a proverb that helped me a lot this week. And it helped me specifically on one day when I read it. And this is from Proverbs 16, and it's surrounded by things that are helping me as well. But anyways, I think this is a cool proverb. This is straight from it. And this is verse 9. It says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." It's just true, first of all. Like, we every one of us has an idea of how everything's going to go in our life.
Yeah.
And how we want it to go. And it comes from our heart. And on the outside of things, that's the way it's supposed to be done. Like, we are supposed to work from our heart. We're supposed to think from our heart. We're supposed to follow our hearts. We're supposed to be creative with our hearts. And we're supposed to design our life with our hearts. And we're supposed to chase after it with our hearts. And like, there's like all these things that we're supposed to do with our hearts. And we plan our lives with our hearts. And that's the way to do it, right? Like, we're supposed to. You're supposed to follow it, man. You're supposed to follow your heart. You're supposed to do what it says. And then
it's like me saying, I live in the present, man.
I live in the present, man.
I'm just following my heart.
And then you just remember how wicked our hearts are and how deceitful they are and how they don't. And so many times my plans for myself, I don't even realize it. But then whenever you get on the other side of something, you're like, wait, that was pretty wicked and deceitful. I didn't know it. Or like, you get an open door or like a peek in a window at something that you had in mind. And you realize like behind that, my heart was thinking something else. And like it had drawn up this one thing that looked delicious and was like a perfectly cooked steak. But actually it was like a can of tuna, you know, it's just like the nastiest thing I could think of at the moment. But like, and then the next verse is so, to me, it didn't feel sneaky. It didn't feel crafty. It didn't feel like, but, you know, you have your one thing, but God actually has this. It just felt, sweet to think about the Lord establishing our steps. To establish something felt like a really choice word to use there. And I didn't look at the original language, and I should have, but I didn't. But I just thought of like the idea of what it means to establish something. And like, you know, establishing it never happens quickly, you know?
Yeah.
It never is something that can just be like snapped into existence. Like, to establish something, whenever I think of it, I always think of like something being drawn out and being crafted and like a lot of things coming into place to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, like for some reason I just think of like a good college football team for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's because I miss sports so much. But like when a good team like Alabama is established, it's like,
yeah, but you're just hype about that Vol recruiting class.
I really am. It is much better than Kentucky's recruiting class. I am sure of it. Austin's been talking a lot of crap lately, and I just needed to say that. But but I just think about how like thought together and put together and how many things have to come into place for like Alabama to be the juggernaut they are at football. Like,
yeah,
they had the same strength and conditioning coach for a long time, and they have top five class. Those are top five class, and they have a brilliant coach at every position. You know, it's just like, it's so well put together and so firm and all these things. That's a terrible comparison, because like one tiny thing can go wrong in a college football program, the whole thing falls apart. Yeah. But I do think about like
one ankle
can roll and one violation can happen and your coach, the whole thing can be on the death penalty and the whole thing can be over with. But right. I do think about like when I thought about the Lord establishing our steps, it just felt so meticulous. And so like, I don't know, it just felt so thought out and so planned. And like, his heart is not wicked. His heart is not vile. His heart is not, it doesn't have some ulterior motive that we don't realize at the time. You know, it's very kind and very sweet, and it's very well thought out, and it's very meticulous, and there's nothing, you know, out of left field about it. I just think it's so cool.
Yeah. For me, the choice of words It's so interesting that you were hammering down on how we plan our course with our heart. And like, that's such an interesting choice of words. It probably in the Hebrew, it probably says kidneys, but that's what they meant by heart. But like, I think that's really cool because it's illustrative of the fact that like when God establishes my course and it's not what I wanted, it's my heart that's upset. Like I pitch a temper tantrum because it's, I had my heart set on that. I was emotionally invested in it. It's not just that I made a strategy and I made a plan and it was analytical and, you know, like I think I want this year to go this way because of these reasons. It's like, no, it's emotional. It's my heart. And when God's course deviates off the one that I had set, it's not just that I look at that in a cold way and say, I'm sure that the Lord's way is better than mine. I'm sure this lockdown was right. The best possible way for me to spend 2020. And I'm learning all these things from the Lord, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. No, what I experience is, but I wanted this other way. Like I'm like a little kid throwing a temper tantrum because I have my heart set on it because it was emotional. I'm tender. Because I wanted it. It's like my kids, they get, they will come up with a plan for what they want their day to look like. And then we're like, oh yeah, we're not doing that because of this, that, or the other reason. We're doing this other thing. And you can just see it in their face. Like they're just upset. And that's what happens is like when the Lord's course is different than mine, it's not just that, like, the thing that I have to cope with is not whether or not he's wiser than me or anything like that. It's that I am emotionally sad or let down because I had my little heart set on that. And so I think that's a really cool choice of words.
Yeah. Your kidneys are set on it.
Yeah. I had my kidneys set on that.
Your kidneys have failed you before.
Ouch.
They have. I'm just saying.
Talking about a kidney stone on this podcast.
Yeah. I was just trying to remind you that like your kidneys are deceptive above all things, Lee. It's in the scripture, man.
It is. Yeah, the Hebrew. Yeah, so the background on this, for those that don't know, is that the Hebrew word, whenever you are reading the Old Testament, it talks about the heart, that the Hebrew word for the seat of the emotions was the kidneys. Mm. And so that's, your kidneys are deceptive above everything else.
Man.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by Thomas's new house, which I'm calling the Mayflower.
Yeah, it's on Plymouth Circle. You should call it the Mayflower. It's a cool name. It's a little sneaky. It's not like I mentioned Plymouth Rock. I'm like, that's too in the face. I think Mayflower is a good one.
Yeah, it's good.
Because you have to think about it. You're like, oh, that's why. Yeah, it's a good
Plymouth,
one.
Yeah, Plymouth Circle. Good. Yeah.
Although there's an excessive amount of river rock at this house.
Yeah.
Like selling it. Anybody want river rock, just HMU me up. That's my other one. Jay Chillin.
Like,
HMU. I just think it's like, I think it's funny. It's some type of redundancy that I like. I haven't figured out the right phrase for it.
I think also you like to set something up where you know it's wrong so that you can watch people correct you.
It's funny.
Because you have that little thing.
No, do that. Like, it's secretly a joke that I did.
Yeah. You're setting someone else up to correct you because that's fun for you.
Yeah. That's probably not good. I probably need to stop. All right.
Oh, gosh.
Good night.
Yeah, thanks for hanging with us, folks. We love you.
Amen.
I'm Lee.
Oh, 2 weeks in a row. I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New. You want to say amen again?
No, it's not a thing.
Jesus is a mighty Savior. Helpless souls here have a friend. He has borne their misbehavior. And his mercy knows no end. Come and on his grace depend. save your souls from ruin. Shed his blood upon the tree. Oh, ye needy, haste unto him. His salvation's full and free. His great salvation see. Yes, the very worst of sinners who upon his grace rely shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky. Songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die.